Thanks, Matt. So as Matt's already said a couple of times this morning, we believe we're in a season of transformation in 2019. But we believe that God does not just transform us for our own sake, but for the sake of the world. And so we're really excited this morning. We're going to hear from four people who really understand that how they spend their week, their 9 to 5, their working day is part of what God's made them to be and called them to be, and that God has placed them for purpose. And with his help in those places that they can see transformation in people's lives, in their environment, and potentially in the world as well. We think it's really important. We love the Hope Tour and going into school to declare God's goodness in there. But I'm really excited. Our first speaker this morning is Rachel Wright, who is a teacher. She is in school all day, every day, and she is bringing kingdom there. Let's welcome Rachel. Rachel's just going to share with us a little bit about her calling to share Jesus in school every day and how she can bring transformation. We're then going to hear from Avril, Beth Wright and John Butler as well. We've given a hand to Rachel. So now let's give her arias.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I was going to start by saying how exciting the Hope Tour is, because as a class teacher, especially in mainstream schools, you can't really be that overt about being a Christian. So to have someone like Bob heading up a team who can go into a school and just unashamedly proclaim the gospel is really exciting. Yeah, that's great. Okay, I saw this and it made me smile. So, yeah, teachers, we don't have the best reputation always, I guess. Long holidays and very grumpy, it's kind of the stereotype. But I really love teaching. I've been teaching for about 11 years now in a couple of different schools in the UK and a few different countries as well. And at the moment, I've got the privilege of working in an incredible school. I really love it. It's quite local to here. And it's great because it feels like home. It's not just a workplace that I go to. That's great. So back to me being a teenager. I thought I'd kind of give a bit of the journey of how I got into teaching. So as a teenager, I went along to events like Grapevine, Now the One event, and different youth events, and I was getting really excited about God, and I remember having Heidi Baker come when it was Grapevine, and she was talking about Isaiah 6, here I am, send me. I just remember being so desperate to do God's will, but I had no idea what that would actually look like. And I'd show up to these events, I'd be like, right, God, this is the year. I'd like it all in lights in the sky, please, or a word from somebody. This is what you're going to do, and you'll go here, and you'll do that on this day or whatever. But yeah, it didn't really happen like that at all. If you want to click through, so surprisingly. Yeah, so I remember going along to the delirious gigs and singing about wanting to be a history maker and all those kind of things. But I think when you're a teenager, it can feel like there's a lot of pressure, like you have loads of passion. But it's like practically, what is that going to turn into with what you do in the future? And worries about what if you mess up, make the wrong choice along the way. But I think actually kind of what I've learned as I've gone along is kind of doing what you love and what God has given you a passion for and a heart for. And Proverbs 3, which I thought about a lot, especially at university, talks about in all your ways acknowledging God and he will make your path straight. And so it kind of changed the focus from, yes, I'm here, God, what do you want me to do, rather than focusing on like the big picture, to breaking it down into little steps, you know, and every little thing that you do, acknowledge God and he'll take the lead and take it from there. And I think also for me, because I'm very like task focused, I like having a job list and ticking stuff off. Sometimes I do lose sight of what God's saying. I'm just thinking about what the next job is that I've got to do. But a big part is knowing that actually God is interested in who you are becoming. It's not just about what you're doing. and being your unique version of who you are, and what God has given you passions for and talents for, with what calling he wants you to do. So in my case, I really enjoy helping other people. I'm also quite a geek, so I really love learning stuff. And I'm the oldest of four, so I really love being in charge as well. So being a teacher has worked out really well. Okay. All right, so keeping with the teaching theme, it's story time, so I've got a few stories now of just how I've been able to have an influence in schools. And as I said at the beginning, like, it's not about overtly being a Christian, but kind of, for me, it's about being me and the Holy Spirit working through that. So teaching, it's all about the kids. Like, it's great having this opportunity to work with different children. I'm a primary school teacher, so I have the same class for a whole year. And often, you know, they're spending more time with me than they are with the parents at home. And so that puts me in a really influential position over their lives. And through that, it's great to have the opportunity to see those children that might be struggling with something in a lesson, and see that moment where they've got it and they're really proud of themselves and so happy to have achieved that. And that's a really special thing to see. But also to see them developing as like a whole person, not just the academic side of things. And at the moment in education, there's more of a push with well-being and mental health, which I think is great, and it's a really exciting time to be a teacher, because schools are talking about how can we encourage our children to be more resilient, to have more kindness to their friends, to grow in teamwork, things like honesty, integrity. So we're looking at values that we talk about at church, like, weekly. So to be part of that discussion of how we're shaping children is really exciting. So along with that, there's been a few examples of where I've had observations, like the head teachers come in to watch a lesson, or different people have come in from outside of school. And it's been great to have feedback where they've commented on, like, the calm atmosphere in the classroom. It's not always calm, but I try my best. And also, they talk about, like, self-regulation, which I think is kind of like self-control, isn't it, that the Bible talks about. And for me, those are all examples of people kind of using worldly language to talk about the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit's at work in the classroom with that atmosphere and everything. There's also the opportunity to pray. So being able to really get to know these children and pray for specifically for them is great. And that's something that we can all do wherever we find ourselves. whilst I've been working in different schools, I've had a chance to take on a bit of extra responsibility for areas that I'm really passionate about. For example, children with special educational needs, or those that might come from vulnerable or disadvantaged backgrounds. And that I've really enjoyed, because I've been able to champion those children throughout the school, kind of raise the game a bit with what the school is doing for those children. This is one that I think Janet will smile at. So my personality is not exactly confrontational, I would say. So I come from a family where we kind of skirt around issues rather than talk about them. So over time, kind of my courage has grown, so that when things aren't quite right in schools, or you know, maybe the leadership is maybe not doing something that is, you know, acting with integrity, to have more courage to speak up and go and see them and say, actually, I don't think we should be doing it this way, or I don't think we should be doing that. And I don't do it every time, I still chicken out. But just getting bolder and braver with that is something that I'm kind of working on still. Yeah. And having said it's all about the kids, I think, like, colleagues are really important. So the teachers, the teaching assistants, the cleaners, the midday supervisors, being able to get to know them and make strong friendships that continue outside of school as well is really significant, because teaching can be a really, really tough job. I'm so glad that I'm working at the school that I'm in now, but in other schools, like, I've had some really low points where it's been very tricky. So being able to support colleagues as well is a great. So yeah, I'm kind of coming towards the end now, but I'm continuing to try and take those little steps every day so that God will lead me to where he wants me to be.
Thank you, Rachel. We're especially grateful for Rachel doing that today, because she's gone back to school this week after her maternity leave. So it's a big thing to then come and speak to us as well. So thank you so much, Rachel. In a moment, I'm going to ask Avril to come and join me. Avril works in retail. She works on the kiosk and does the self-checkout-y bits, which is and I know for Avril, her work has not always been easy and challenging. Anyone who works in retail will know that it's not always straightforward. So Avril, do you want to come? So Avril, actually. I know in Avril's job, she's had some real challenges, haven't you? And she's actually been had some real tough times, and she's not always been treated very well by her employers. That has led to some health issues in her life, and yet she's still there. How long have you been there now?
17 and a half years.
17 and a half years. That is incredible. And Rachel talks about kind of doing what you love and following God. But the reality is, for some of us, that we have to do jobs that aren't always pleasant, that we don't always love, but we need to earn some money. But the truth is that God can still place us in a place for such a time as this. And I know that, Avril, that's kind of what you feel. And so Avril's been kind of working with her trade union to kind of challenge some stuff in her workplace. So, Avril, please, could you just explain to us, even though things are really being tough for you sometime, why are you still working where you're working?
Well, I just feel that God's not done with them yet. And if he's not giving up, I'm not giving up either. I work for an international supermarket. I'm not allowed to name them, unfortunately. At the moment, I'm on 12 weeks' notice. I either accept their contract or they've told me I'm sacked on the 2nd of November. Most of the people there have already signed. They're frightened of losing their jobs. But, you know, some people just have to say, I'm standing up. God's my cornerstone. Who am I to give up? So I just feel that if I go, then God's not going to be there, because there's not many Christians there. And I'm trying to support my colleagues who are leaving in the droves. I have had two colleagues this week leave. One that's been there 32 years and the other one's been there 10 years. And they've just given up. And I do like the customers. You know, we have customers come in that with the complications, and I try and just make a light of it, and I try and support them, and I've got regular customers that we have banter every week, and, you know, it's great joy to be there. But it's just the international company that is saying, who's wrong? Who's wrong? And I'm saying, God's greater than that. God's greater than that. And I'm standing up, you know, I'm standing up. And on the 14th of August with the trade union, I went to the headquarters. And I marched past the headquarters, and it was a great feeling to say, we are here. We matter. We've got a voice. This is God's voice. And this is what I'm trying to say, that I'm trying to stand up for truth and justice, and I'm trying to reach out and say, come on, this is God. It's greater than that. You know, so I'm trying to support my colleagues who you go upstairs and you talk to them and they're down in the dumps and they don't know what they're going to do and they don't know whether they're leaving or not. They're trying to put feelers out for different jobs and they can't get one. And I'm just trying to lift them up. I'm trying to lift them up and say, you know, it's greater than this. Look at the bigger picture. And the bigger picture for me is God. So that's why I'm standing up. And it is hard. Every day is a different challenge. But yeah, that's why I'm there.
And if there's one thing that you hope by your presence is going to change or get better in your workplace, what would that be?
Well, I'd like to change the boss's attitude, you know, and say, you know, thanks, Donna. Yeah, I'd just like to stand up for justice, for truth and justice, and say, you know, people's better than this. It's either their way or the highway. Their saying is, it's our way or it's the highway. And what I'd like to see is that God would break through. And it will break through. And he will, you know, say to them, you know, look at the bigger picture. We're worth more than this. And same as I say, I go in every day. Every different day is a challenge. I have a customer in tears because her husband's died. You give her a cuddle, yeah. You know. It's not part of my job, but it's what I do. Because people matter. And, you know, and if I don't do it, who will? You know, who will? They go home and there's nobody there because there's an empty place. But if I don't give her a cuddle, nobody will. So that's what I do. And every customer are trying to get to know them. And I try and, you know, make a friend of them. You know, and just be there and encourage different people in different ways, and that's what I do. So, yeah, it's hard some days, but you have to take the good with the bad. But at the end of it all, I know that God is my cornerstone because he tells me this. The day I woke up and I was going to my first rally, as I was getting dressed, he was telling me he's my cornerstone, you know, he's my cornerstone. And every time something comes up, I get a little message to say, come on, you know, so that's what I do.
Brilliant. Thank you, Avril. We love that, don't we? Wherever God's placed us, we can bring truth and we can bring justice. And we can bring love and compassion to the people around us. Thanks for sharing that, Avril. We've now got Beth, who's going to come and speak to us. Beth works as a domestic abuse children and young people's advocate, and she's also a foster carer. So she's working day in, day out with young people from difficult backgrounds, and she's going to talk to us a little bit about that.
Thank you. So yes, as Zoe said, I'm a foster carer. I also volunteer for Safe Families for Children, which supports families before children go into care, is to try and keep them from going into care. And I'll tell you some of those stories later. And I also work as a children and teens advocate for Women's Aid. And that's with children who have had domestic abuse in their families. So throughout my life, I've felt a calling to work with children and families that are vulnerable. I went to university and studied abuse studies, which is not a normal course to do, but for some reason I ended up there. And then when I went for my first job, the person who was interviewing me said to me, we've not yet written a job description for this, but if we did, we were just going to write Bethany Hamilton on it. And I was like, okay, so that's clearly a calling that I'm meant to be in, domestic abuse. I then moved to Sutton in Ashfield because I got married. And I was looking for jobs around this area. And every time I went on a job application site, this job came up. And I was like, I'm not qualified for it. I can't do it. Someone from church, Lucy Hudson, she sent it to me and said, well, if I was interviewing you, I'd give you the job. So I went, did the interview, didn't get the job. But they rang me and said, we don't want to give you this 18-hour manager's post. We want to give you the post which is working directly with the children. It's 30 hours a week. Much better for me. So I was like, excellent, I'll take it. So that's my Monday to Friday job. We then foster on the weekends and do Safe Families kind of as and when in the week or at the weekends. As I said, when I moved to Sutton, we were blessed with a three-bedroomed house. People kept chucking beds at us as well. Like, we ended up with three spare beds, mattresses, bedding, and we were like, I think it might mean that we're supposed to foster or have some other people coming over to our house. I think it's an important area because children and young people are our future. We need to be equipping them with positive relationships, positive options for their future. So some transformations that I've seen are professional and parent. So a lot of these parents have been through abusive backgrounds. Professionals have let them down. And they don't want a social worker knocking on the door telling them that they're possibly going to lose the children. I'm working with a little boy at the moment and her and his mum. And she's already had three children taken off her. She's really worried that the fourth one's going to be taken. But through sneaking positive affirmations into her life, telling her that she's doing a good job, that social care are just there to be on her side, to support her, they're doing things to make her and her child's relationship better, I've seen such a transformation in her attitude towards professionals, her attitude towards a child. I've also seen transformations in friendship and schools. So just by being the presence in the school, we've seen teachers actually and support workers in the school working better with the children who have these kind of barriers because of the domestic abuse. I've witnessed people with really low self-esteem, children and parents, just being lifted out of that. And also relationships. So with mine, children is normally the abuser has been a male. So children really struggle when they've got a male teacher or other males entering their life. And I've seen them relationships just restored as well. So some case studies that I've got through Safe Families. At the moment, I'm working with a mum who's got a six-month-old daughter. And a partner ended up having a brain injury about 5 months ago. So starting out with a newborn and now a husband who is in hospital, can't really speak many words. It's a big challenge for her. And I've managed to keep that mum and baby together, along with the support of Safe Families. Another case study from work, there was a boy who blamed himself for speaking out about the abuse that was happening at his house. His stepfather used to tell him he's not allowed near his brothers and sisters because they're not his, they're his step siblings, so they're not anything to do with him. You shouldn't be near them. So he had a lot of low self-esteem, a lot of anger. And through the sessions with him, it was a complete transformation because on the last session, we filled this balloon with words of anger and what he wanted to get rid of. And the plan was to throw it up to space. We chose the least windy day. So he went out and he was like, he was not having that. He jumped on this balloon until it popped. And he then went skipping back into school with the biggest smile on his face. It was amazing. Also, I raised his self-esteem by making him a certificate that said, you are a superhero for speaking out. And now he is willing to go and talk to teachers if he was to see any bullying at school. He's kind of stepped up in school to do that, which is amazing. So I can't do this on my own. I've needed a big support network around me because at times it has been challenging, especially with fostering. So it is just great to remember that God is with me, my faith is with me, and that God has a plan for this child's future. We might not see it now, we might not be in it, but we can do the bit now and we can help transform what we can now. I think that's all.
Thank you, Beth. That's really exciting, isn't it? And we're just seeing, aren't we, that wherever we're placed, wherever God puts us, it's for bigger things, and we can bring transformation and in individuals' lives, but also in the lives of organisations and our workplaces. We've got John, who's going to come and speak to us now. John's an entrepreneur, business leader, many years' experience. I think he's just going to talk us through his experience, so I'm not going to say any more, John. I'm just going to let you do it.
Okay, thank you. What an act to follow with those fantastic... Hello. Just to give you an idea, I'm 66 and retired, and I moved to this area 5 years ago, and the majority of my working life, I lived and around and worked in the City of London. So my experience, my background is very different from a lot of people in this room. So I want to be give you a brief explanation about my journey to Christ, as well as how things have impacted me and others since that time. So I had a 47-year career in the building industry, starting off when I wasn't particularly academically good, and I, at the age of 18, I started on a building site as a labourer, moving bricks and that kind of thing. But my boss saw something in me and said, you need to go to college. So I started going to building college. I worked my way up through site engineering to cost and bonus surveying, eventually to estimating. And by my early 30s, I was a chief estimator of a company that just started about 2 million in sales. And the next 5 years, I took them from 2 million to 65 million as part of the team. So I worked the corporate route. I was focused on success and money. My parents were both humanists. I had no Christian background, no contact with Christians anywhere. All right? So for me, it was one thing, and that was career success and family. And so as I worked through that particular career, I got to the point where in 1993, I had a big fallout with the company that I took to success, and I was out of work 3 times in 2 years, and eventually out of work, seeking work for about 12 weeks. So if you've been in that desperate place, I know where you're at because I feel it in the gut. At that time, I was out seeking, how could I make money? How could I change my life? And a friend of mine introduced me to network marketing in 1993. And that started a journey for me which would be very different from the majority of you. The reason it is because it gave me access to an education system and a regular series of events or seminars where I learnt about business skills as part of that business. But those business skills were transferable across into other areas. My career grew. I ended up working for an international company. We were working in Germany, reconstructing the eastern part of Germany. So I was building that particular career as well as building a business in network marketing. And if you see that particular graphic, you'll see that it's about people and business coming together. And the key fact about that is my building experience and did not prepare me for success in this area because I didn't have the refined people skills. I had to learn them through that education program. So this is a business that I started with two business partners in 1999. It was called London Drywall. And over the next 19 years until I actually retired from that, as one of the partners of that business, we grew that. The sort of clients that we're involved with, we worked for the London Olympics, built 48 buildings on the Olympic Park. We worked for companies like Ernst & Young, Google's headquarters we built, all sorts of different top quality commercial organizations, solicitors, insurance companies over the space of those years that I was part of it. But you see, I was still building my network marketing business outside of a full-on career in construction. Construction was 60 to 80 hours a week. On top of that, I was away building my network marketing business as well. So how does this all relate to Christ? How does this relate to my journey? So about 7 years after I started that particular journey with the network marketing business, they held a seminar in Warwick at a place called the Chesford Grange Hotel. And over that weekend, there was an invited speaker from the States who's become a good friend. His name is Dr. Robert Rome. And he invited us to come to a seminar to learn about positive personality profiles. How many of you think that that's something you would really be interested in? Well, I was because I had this thirst for learning. Bear in mind, I had no academic real sort of abilities. And little did I know that he was someone who had qualified from the Dallas Theological Seminary and was a pastor. But he chose to not to be a pastor. He chose to be someone who went out into the world and shared his knowledge about this particular area of expertise. Okay, and It was a three-day seminar, Friday night, Saturday and Sunday. On the Saturday night, we had a round table sort of gala dinner. And at the end of the evening, he said, there's 600 people in this room, but I want to invite each and every one of you to come for breakfast with me in the breakfast room at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning on Sunday. I want to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Okay, I didn't come to Christ in the church. I came to Christ in a breakfast room in a hotel with somebody who had no knowledge of any church in the whole of the UK, had no one I could link in with. All right, but what I did is I was 600 people, 40 showed up for the breakfast. I was one of 20 that gave my life to Christ that day. Okay. Now, I had no church. I had no knowledge. All I did was give my life to Christ. And that then led me. So about a year later, I was in Hawaii. Yeah, I know. Not many people get to go to Hawaii. I was there for a learning seminar over a period of 2 weeks. And there were about 3,000 people at this particular seminar. And I was elected when we got there as leader of the English team of about 300 people. Now, well, you may can just about make out that. That happened to be at the time when we had the terrorist outrage of the Twin Towers. And I was on Big Island of Hawaii at 4 a.m. in the morning when I got a call from the conference organizer, Tony Robbins. And he said, John, you're the leader of the English team, but I need you to work with the Americans because you've got understanding of a lot of things. I've seen your personal growth journey. He said, I need you to work with these people. I'm going to put you with a whole bunch of Texans and other people. They're people that have impacted. They've lost families. They've lost businesses in the Twin Towers. One lady that worked with me was a doctor at the trauma hospital, which took most of the casualties from 9/11. And there were so many issues. Now, bear in mind, I was an unchurched Christian that all I knew was I turned to God for strength to guide me through that process. And if I hadn't had my faith, I think I would have melted in that. But I knew I could rely on his strength to take me through that particular event. So, through my network marketing business, I met a lady called Mary. Mary invited me to her church in Luton. It was about half an hour's drive away from where I lived. Didn't matter, because I was searching for somewhere to call home. And at the Luton Christian Fellowship, they had a pastor. He was an ex-football player. He used to play for Burnley and then Luton Town. He came to Christ whilst he was a football player. And on his journey, he came back from New Zealand where his mother-in-law lived, having given his life to Christ, was captain of Luton Town, and then started to work as a Christian outreach within the Professional Players Association. Okay, but he also led our church. And one of the most things that he actually did was he started to preach on evangelism. And I want to share with you just one thing which became almost like our vision and mission for that particular church, which is the Great Commission. I'll just do a short couple of sentences from this. Then Jesus came to him and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Now, as Christians, we're not passive. We've been commanded to go out and make disciples, all right? And this is something that he instilled in me. You have to get good at going meeting people and spreading the word and inviting people to become Christians. And he recommended a book called Just Walk Across the Room by Bill Hybels. It's a simple act. It means you go out, you smile, and you say, hi, my name's John, what's yours? Isn't it, Margaret? Okay. So, yeah, moving on. At Luton Christian Fellowship, I got involved. We actually we raised about £300,000 and totally refurbished the church hall. I led that project. We've fundraised over £300,000 in 13 months to fund that particular church. That church was so instrumental in what I learned about evangelism. And the key thing was that Alan West, who was the pastor, shared the Engel scale of steps to Christ. Now, you can't probably see that very well, but essentially, my knowledge of Jesus was probably one above zero, I knew of Jesus. But through my network marketing business, I was meeting Christian people who were sharing their story and their faith with me, step by step by step. And if you read that, there's a particular thing, if you can see that, it says 10 is where you give your life to Christ. That happened to me at that seminar in Chesford Grange. But beyond that, you need to be sustained and taken to a higher level through the teaching in the church and the leadership like we have from Matt and Claire. Absolutely fabulous. But it took me a little few more steps of knowledge and being confident before I began able to share my faith amongst the people that were my peer group. Okay, so the big event for me, and something that I'm absolutely passionate, repent and be baptized. I was one of 9 people that was baptized at Luton Christian Fellowship that month. Every 3 months, they would have a baptism service. That church grew from about 200 to 600 in the time I was there, 11 years. We used to get multiple people coming through, like 10, 15 people being baptized in each session. And to me, that was a sign. That was the harvest was starting to come from all the work because we were encouraged to be out there, just meeting with people where they were, asking them about their lives, stating where we are in that particular process. So, okay. This is something that made a difference to me. Funnily enough, Rachel, okay, Grapevine, 2003, Heidi Baker. My first ever Grapevine. That was before the one event. Okay, and she was so influential in me deciding that my mission field was going to be in the area of business. Because everybody seems to focus on other areas, but not many people focus on, don't you want business leaders to be Christian, spirit-filled Christians? Don't you want those influential people to be able to make a difference in this world as well as us at our level? So I got access to those people. Well, that's my mission field. So Heidi Baker helped me through inspiring me that that's where I would spend my time. So I have this sort of thing, things I've learned along the way. Say where you stand with Jesus and then shut up and listen. How many people want to be preached that, especially if they're not Christians already? All right. And one of the things I learned from this is amidst the apathy and the antipathy, there are people who are generally wondering about God and would love just to meet a Christian to talk. And that has been my experience. You know, Lord, something that I picked up again from my various things was from the chaplain to the US Senate in 1948. He said, Lord, help us stand for something because a man who stands for nothing will fall for anything. I stand for Jesus. I make it very clear to the people that I meet where I stand, but I then want to find out where they are, and that requires me just to shut up and listen. Okay. I want to talk about a life-changing conversation I had with a lady called Melanie. She's a good friend of mine now. I really hardly ever knew her. She was a model, a West End actress, appeared in a number of films, and she came to one of our network marketing seminars, which I was running. I wasn't speaking, I was just facilitating. And the speaker said to her, all of my success in my area of expertise would not be possible without a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. One phrase, hour-long seminar. The rest of it was all teaching non-secular type stuff, non-Christian. Melanie went to that particular lady, Cindy her name was, and said, how do I become a Christian? And she says, well, I can help you, but you need to be supported by people who are local to you. I was living near London. Melanie lived in London. So she connected me with Melanie. We had a number of conversations. And I said, well, I live 25 miles, St. Albans, outside of London. She said, you're in London. I directed her to Hillsong Church. She was in the theatre. Hillsong used to worship in a theatre. I don't know if they still do. And she said, I have a problem with this. She says, I'm a lesbian. I'm in a lesbian relationship. Does that mean I can't be a Christian? I said, Jesus doesn't condemn you. Jesus accepts you if you accept him. You can work it out. And for me, that was significant. It's the little moments. And as I said, on the angle scale, you don't know where somebody is. Your job is not to lead somebody to Christ immediately. Your job is to take them up the scale to the point of decision when they say, Jesus, come into my life. So everything you do in your contact with people is leading people to Christ if you steer them, but you make sure that they know where you stand with God. All right. So this is my life now. This is the Dallas Cowboys Stadium. How many of you know American football? But it is massive. If you can see the size of that screen and the people, 20,000 people at that event. Now, my background is, in addition to construction, I've been running stage events like this for 20 years. And so, I was at this particular event in Dallas. And you won't see this, there was three of us, myself, a lady called Erica, another one called Vera. And the start of the event, we went into a corner, 6 o'clock in the morning on the Friday, and we prayed over the event, the success of the event, that people would come to Christ through the contacts made. It wasn't a Christian event, okay? It was a business event. But what it allowed us to do, we wanted to put a covering of over the whole of the event, over the families back home. On the right-hand side of that screen, you'll see there's a picture of a terrorist lorry bomb. In Stockholm, 2 hours after we had that prayer covering over the event and the families, an Islamist terrorist ran amok with a lorry through the center of Stockholm. John, who's a pastor of a church in Sweden and is the husband of Vera in the green t-shirt, he was walking wounded and people were dying to the left of him, to the right of him, as a result of that outrage. But we know, when Vera came to me, she says, I know that John's alive because you instigated a Partners in Prayer program over our events, and we put a prayer covering over families back home. And I believe if we hadn't done that, it may have been more serious for John. Okay, so whatever you do, I believe in the power of prayer and I believe in the power of reaching out to people. So on the following Sunday, there was 20,000 people at this particular event, and that was on the Sunday. There was 5,000 people met in the plaza outside to praise and worship God for a period of hours, starting at 7 o'clock in the morning. And what happened from that was, I look at that and think, there's 5,000 people there. There's 15,000 people who need to know Jesus. It's a question of perspective. Do you celebrate with the ones that are there, or do you look at the souls of the ones that you have yet to reach? So that's the way I look at it. So coming on to now, finally, this is my world. I go about four times a year to international events. I facilitate events in London in between. And this is my harvest field. This is where I go out to meet people, to win them for Christ. Some of my people that are part of the team that I coach and mentor, I do this all the time. And it's not about, I don't teach about Christ. I don't teach about our faith. I teach at their level and I build relationship. And from the relationship, I state where I am and I ask questions. Every week, I do webinar sessions online. Across the world, I've got people coming in. I teach on non-Christian aspects of business success. I get people from Asia, people from Africa, people from Israel, people from the United States and across Europe. And this is part of how I get to reach people for Christ. Because I build the relationship first, and then I have the opportunity to share my faith. So finally, what next? Well, people and places is my theme. I reach out to people, but I'm a builder of 47 years. And I'm building his kingdom. And I want to see our kingdom in this area grow so that our building is not big enough. Of course, we've got to have a new home for Ashwood. A bigger home for Ashwood, because there'll be so many people being won for Christ that we will need them to be able to become better, more involved and part of what we do as a church by better and larger facilities. And with that, I am so grateful to be part of this church and the leadership that you, Matt and Claire, have given us. Thank you.
Thanks, John. It's been brilliant, hasn't it, to hear just a really range of stories of people's different work environments. God places in different places, in different environments. But the truth is that God puts us in places for purpose. He puts us in places for transformation. And all of us, we love people serving in church, but we also want to equip people to be released in their places of work and to bring Christ. Whether that's through proclamation or whether it's just through bringing truth, justice through our actions, it's really, really important. So if you kind of are feeling stirred by that this morning, if you're thinking, actually, yeah, God, he's put me where I am for purpose, and I want to see more transformation in my workplace, in the place where I am in my 9 to 5, whether that's at the school gate, even if we're not all in work, if it's at the job centre, if it is in big business, if it's in schools, wherever it is, if you're feeling, yeah, I want to see transformation where I am, where I work day to day, then we'd love to pray for you this morning. Our prayer team's going to be available over here. If the prayer team could just make their way over there, we'd love you to get prayer. Don't go this morning without getting prayer. The other thing is, ground level have a thing called GLX, which is coming up in November, which is really about gathering people who know that their workplace is their calling, that the 9-to-5 is the place where God's put them, to gather people across streams such as education, health, families and communities, all of that kind of thing, business, media, to gather like-minded people of faith, to encourage, equip, release each other. I know I've been to GLX. It's amazing. It's a great day of networking, of input. So I'd really encourage you, whatever place of work you're in, to get into GLX and book in. There's leaflets on your chairs so you can get into that. So wherever God's placed us, he's got purpose and opportunity to bring transformation. Let's just pray, shall we? Yeah.